Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
You're listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, a show where we discuss trends, marketing, pop culture, and going behind the scenes of viral Super Bowl spots that star Michael Cera. I'm Luz Corona, Adweek Community Editor. Joining us for today's special episode, we have Charlotte Tanzel, Ogilvy North America's President of PR, Influence, and Social, and Adam Kornblum, SVP, Head of Global Digital Marketing for CeraVe under the L'Oreal umbrella. But first, I am joined by my friend and colleague, Jameson Fleming, agency's managing editor at Adweek, to talk post-Super Bowl real quick. Lessons learned, the wins and the losses. But first, Jameson, how are you recovering?
I'm a little tired, but, you know, I had a couple of good nights' sleep, and I'm ready to go. Let's go.
Yeah, it was a late night and we've still continued sprinting with some post-Super Bowl stories. But yes, would love to hear from you. Just, you know, quick recap, what were the wins and losses and lessons learned of the night coming out of Sunday?
Yeah, so there's a few different ways, a few key things that I think we've sort of realized about Super Bowl in 2024. And one of them is idea is so important. I'm not one of these people who are going to go, you shouldn't do celebrities. There's too many celebrities. I think celebrities are perfectly fine if there is a very good idea that attaches that celebrity to the brand. I think CeraVe, as you're going to hear in this show, is a perfect example of that where, yeah, okay, Michael Cera, it's a joke. It's a prank. That ad does a really good job talking about the benefits of CeraVe. There was a real idea there. I think you saw that, you know, even with the Dunkin' Dunkings, like, yeah, it's goofy, it's fun, it's absurd, it's packed with celebrities. But at the end of the day, they were talking about the drink. They showed the drink that they were selling. The product is there. I think those kind of ads are way more memorable than, say, an Uber Eats, where I don't really remember what was supposed to be, like, what they were touting in that ad. And me saying I don't remember is not intentional with that ad, because it was all about not remembering stuff. But, like, you know, Jennifer Aniston forgetting she was in Friends, like, that could have been for 1,000 different companies. And, you know, that. So I think if you've got a strong idea tied to your spot, whether there's celebrities, no celebrities, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, I think it really, really comes down to that. If you're just trying to entertain us for 30 seconds with something that's not tied to a specific benefit to your brand or a specific positioning, it just doesn't matter anymore.
Right. And that's so true. And I feel like we've seen that in the last few days. I mean, the Dunkings, that really also another big contender. And I will say, I think the follow through is so important, because I think I sent this picture out to some of you this morning, but I went to Dunkin' this morning. The ad is playing on the screen, you know, with Ben Affleck, J-Lo. They indeed have their own specialty drinks. It's almost like a little
martini. Like, there's like a little bit, you know, there's like a garnish of a munchkin. I don't remember, but it was really fun. And I think it's part of the follow-up as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you can figure out how to extend the life of this stuff past Super Bowl, I mean, that's the key. It's the walk-up beforehand, it's running night of, and it's the follow-up afterwards. And we've seen too many ads in recent years just drop something on Super Bowl night or, you know, share it in advance with no real reason to get excited about it. And so you have to think through the full campaign because it just too much money is on the line. You know, if you're a CMO and you're asking for a $20 or $30 million investment, you can't just be about brand awareness anymore. You've got to have a real message tied to your brand.
Yeah. And I think it ties to your earlier point, and this is something that was repeated constantly when we were agency side, is, you know, making, when you come up with this big splashy idea, is the product replaceable? Like, can it apply to anything? You know, to your point before about Uber Eats, such a good example. Now, before we jump into our really awesome conversation, I have to tell you, it was really so great to talk to the CeraVe folks and the Ogilvy folks who worked on the spot that also stole the night. Your team came out, or somebody on our team came out with an interesting piece this week about 30 seconds versus 60 second Super Bowl and just how it impacts storytelling. So can you tell us a little bit there in terms of post-game analysis?
Yeah, so this was an observation I had. If you look at Ad Meter, if you look at our rankings, you look at other publications that have authority on this, you will see a very common theme of 60-second ads ruled the day. And while we rank CeraVe number one overall, you know, I'll say that the 60, or technically it's 76 seconds is the long cut, but most of them are 60-second cuts, and some of them are even 90s. You know, those ads dominated those rankings. It is really hard to have a moment in 30 seconds in the Super Bowl. And that's not to say it can't be done. I thought the more that I step away from the Super Bowl, the more that I like the Reese's ad, which was 30 seconds without a celebrity. And I've seen that kind of pop up on, you know, some data that showed that that ad performed really well. So it can be done, but it really feels like 60 seconds seems to be where brands are finding their sweet spot in the Super Bowl. And to me, it kind of makes sense to buy that extra 30 seconds because if you're investing, you know, $10 to $20 million in the production of the ad, if you're going celebrity heavy, it's almost like, what is another $7 million on top of it? Because your return on investment, or your just return on attention that you get, it feels like is worth that extra $7 million. If you're going to put all that effort and resources into it, go for 60 instead of 30, or even at least 45. I mean, I loved the 45-second Etsy ad, and the 30-second is still really good, but the best jokes get cut from that Etsy ad in just that 15 seconds. And I think if Etsy had run the full 45, I think you would have seen them at the top of pretty much everybody's rankings because the 45 is that good.
Interesting. That's so interesting. And, you know, as you're speaking about this, this reminds me of what we heard at our Outlook event earlier this year, where Sammy, our head of social, was talking about long form storytelling is making a comeback. We're seeing it in longer form videos with the return of it to TikTok and all these other social platforms that are going to be welcoming these long form videos. So I wonder if this is something that's kind of like the Super Bowl was kind of a good showing of that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what brands do next year. I think they're going to look at the Super Bowl and say, like, wow, you know, BMW and State Farm and Verizon, T-Mobile, like all these brands that showed up pretty well during the game, and they went for, you know, a full minute. You know, it will be interesting to see. And, you know, some of the other brands that I kind of fell short. You know, you can look at some of the perennial advertisers like Skechers and, you know, Bass Pro Shops shows up now pretty often, and CrowdStrike is now in two straight years. I tend not to ding those brands on with seemingly low budget the commercials because I assume that they're in the game for a reason every year. You know, it's clearly working for them, even though us as, you know, analysts of creativity and marketing tend to go, oh, that didn't look that great. It's more the brands that you can tell really tried that then fell short, like Oreo. I'm not really quite sure what the attempt was there. They played into, you know, something that people do in terms of twisting their Oreos and tried to making decisions based on them a thing, which is not a thing to, I think, everybody's knowledge, unless that's happening in some corner of this country that I'm unaware of, if that's a regional thing. But it's certainly not a Northeast thing. And so you kind of see some of those, like, big brands that really you could tell went heavy on production costs and talent costs that fell short, that I think are the ones that are going to be having to really answer some tough questions this week in terms of, you know, their ads.
Yeah, for sure. And then you mentioned those ads that you just mentioned reminded me of, like, the regional ads, which, to be honest, I feel like should have gotten a little bit more love. You know, I was kind of making my way through them in Kyle O'Brien's write-up, and there are just some real zingers in there. And you've got to love the personalization aspect. So I'm going to use the John Stamos ad. I believe it was with Zeeds. I'm not sure. Do you remember? I can't remember. It was,
I think Zeem was the company. It's like, yeah. I believe, a streaming service.
Yeah. And they used John Stamos, like America's sweetheart, another America's sweetheart. And they used it to promote their product offerings, but they also personalized it to different markets, which I think is another effective form of storytelling.
Yeah. And I think that's sometimes where we forget that, you know, you can hit the 10 largest markets in the country for, you know, a discount compared to, you know, a full buy and still generate the same kind of attention, because Oikos did that with the Jeremy Renner spot, got a lot of play, was just a regional buy. The Knicks ad or NYX, you know, makeup, that thing blew up. They originally had a 60-second spot. And the last 30 seconds were, I guess, too vulgar for the network to run. And so it got cut back into a 30. But that generated a lot of headlines and probably was seen by just as many people practically as if it had been a national buy. And so, yeah, I think a lot of brands also probably need to reevaluate. Does it make sense to go big on a regional ad and expect the press to pick it up? Because at the end of the day, Adweek and a couple of our competitors are the only ones that actually care about whether it's a regional ad and a Super Bowl ad. And that's really just for record keeping purposes. Like, you know, People and Good Morning America and Today Show, like, they don't care that if it's regional or national. They're going to cover it if it's a good, noteworthy ad. So, you know, I think there's a lot of earned media part of the Super Bowl that I think brands are really starting to get savvy with and understand that you can get way more legs out of your money if you spend in only certain markets, but you go big and you tout it as a Super Bowl ad, because most media outlets and even people randomly on TikTok and Instagram don't know the distinction. So, you know, it's so blurred at this point that, you know, it's also a very viable strategy to go that route.
Yeah, I would say, and that's just a good, I would imagine, is such a good strategic way of making the best use of your budget. If these days, like, you can buy a regional spot and then it'll just, you know, have legs to take off on social. If it has that potential, the story is there, then you're really getting a bang for your buck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, we're about to jump into the conversation with, I'm gonna give it to them, the king and queen of paid media for the Super Bowl. This was the people behind the scenes of the CeraVe ad, where, spoiler alert, their goal was actually earned media and then paid media on top of it. And they really just executed it so well. But Jameson, thank you so much for joining us and kind of giving us a quick post-game analysis.
Of course. Always happy to be here.
Thanks. And after this quick break, we'll jump into our conversation with the folks behind the CeraVe ad.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hatch, because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming, to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm Michael Cera, and human skin is my passion, which is why I developed this.
CeraVe.
Oh, you didn't know?
Oh. Can skin truly be this moisturized?
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let my cream hydrate you.
Three essential ceramides.
CeraVe.
Developed with Michael Cera. V.
We like? And so my name is Cera. And so it's a perfect crossover opportunity.
Okay, and welcome, listeners. We have with us today, as you just heard, Adam from CeraVe and Charlie from Ogilvy. Friends, how are you? What a successful week you've had.
Yeah, it's been awesome. We're, you know, I'm great. I could say Charlie.
I'm great. We're both great.
We just left each other, command center, the whole thing. You know, it's been amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it has. So great. And, you know, obviously, I'm not going to get into, like, the whole, like, shebang. Everybody knows this was one of the most discussed ads of Super Bowl night. But it didn't just start Super Bowl night, as you guys so strategically did with the teasers and incorporating creators. But let's go back to the start. So how did the CeraVe in-game spot come to be? Like, I think most of us have heard about the 7-year-old Reddit thread that might have triggered these conversations, and you saw an affiliation with Michael Cera, CeraVe. But talk us through the journey of pitching that and then, you know, taking the campaign all the way to the Super Bowl. I don't know if, Charlie, if you want to start, if it started agency side or Adam.
Well, I was going to say maybe, like, before we go into the start of the spot, maybe we just go to the start of the start for even further back for a second. Because yeah. What's interesting is that Charlie and I worked together during Ogilvy PR days. So, you know, before I joined CeraVe. And, you know, I think what made this so special is that we also share a point of view and a philosophy. And I'd say it's really that great earned, right? Earned amplifies paid exponentially. Right. So if you have good earned content, good earned buzz, right, paid media exponentially is much better. You know, it's a difficult approach for a marketer because the storytelling needs to be spot on. The distribution of every aspect of the story needs to hit that sticking point. But we both, you know, work together in this. We shared the philosophy, and our aim was to really rewrite the grammar and rules of marketing as it relates to big moments like the Super Bowl. And yeah, it was, so we grew up together, we were trained together, we shared the philosophies together. And then, you know, it was a match made in Michael CeraVe heaven in every relationship. From CeraVe to, you know, our relationships and point of views on communications.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. It's just such an incredible collaboration from the get-go. And I think that earned first mindset and the way that we think really helped, you know, allow us to do this differently.
Definitely. So, Charlie, do you want to kick off on the start?
Yeah, so I love that question. The Reddit from 7 years ago. Yeah, I mean, starting from the very beginning, this is an extremely sort of collaborative process in the RFP process. But the first thing we did, which is what we always do, is turn to social listening for intelligence, for insights, for inspiration, because we knew we needed to create a social first idea. So we had to start there. And in our digging, we found a Reddit post, if you can believe it, from 7 years ago that sort of speculates whether there's connection between Sarah and CeraVe, obviously because he has baby soft skin. So what other product could he use? And, you know, we found a couple other, but it certainly wasn't widespread. It was just a little bit of a deep-rooted internet conspiracy. And we saw the potential of it. And that's when we started ideating and then brainstorming with Adam and his team in the RFP process. And, you know, I think to Adam's point, like really thinking beyond the spot, right? How do we, you know, CeraVe is a brand that's been so sophisticated and social and influencer. So how do we build that 360 in and really create an experience that unfolds over time rather than in 30 seconds? So that was really sort of the beginning.
And I think that is really also what made it special, was even the start from the social listening, right? Because a brand, you know, you never just want to push a message. You want to make sure that, you know, the people are actually saying it, and then you find a way to inject yourself into that conversation. So I think the way Ogilvy approached it and shared, all right, so we're seeing a seed. I think we can water it. And I like ultimately that was like a beautiful start, and which created obviously the perfect storm. And then their approach of like phasing out the storytelling in a special way with these three phases, from the speculation phase to the FICO's public, to the resolution, you know, obviously when we aired the Super Bowl, was really like spectacular, immersive storytelling. And these were, you know, different aspects that were just we must do this in every way, shape, and form.
Yeah. It just struck me the irony of you, both your team sitting in possibly a conference room or on a Zoom call discussing this pitch about Michael Cera pitching to a group of people. So I love like the irony here. Now, you know, and I think it's so valuable also, the client agency relationship is so important here. And Adam, you mentioned before, you both kind of came from the same school of thought, mm-hmm. you know, coming from your early agency days for both of you at Ogilvy. So totally hear that about the values. Now, why was this the right time for CeraVe to invest in the Super Bowl? You have your flashy idea. Was that intended for the Super Bowl, or you know, how did that work out?
Yeah, so I'll answer that in two ways. So first is like building a cultural brand, right? And I think for us, you know, CeraVe has truly become a cultural brand, especially with Gen Z. So not to like rattle off different stats, but I'm going to. So like investment.
We love numbers. Go for it.
Investment bank, Piper Sandler, right? They surveyed about 10,000 teens twice a year and found that CeraVe is ranked number one in share of mind in teens in the U.S. Even a news outlet, I'll give you one more, recently wrote that, so the headline, 10, I've actually memorized it, just saying, 10 Gen Z status taking over American high schools, right? So for us, since 2020, we've started to rule TikTok. Right? Billions and billions and billions of views. It's like, you know, a lot of it's organic, but we have different strategies that we put in play. So, you know, I think for us, it was this, like, how do we exponentially grow the brand even deeper and bigger? And what's the best way to do it? Well, from a US perspective, what's a cultural moment that we can be a part of, right? Because this is the time, you know, we've been welcomed into culture. So how do we really build a cultural brand that goes beyond skincare, right? So I think that for me and the team, it's been thinking, you know, we want someone to have CeraVe in their bathroom for two reasons. One reason is that it actually works. It's a great product, developed with dermatologists, developed with ceramides, all since the beginning. But also I want you to have it in your bathroom so when your friends come over, they think you're cool, right? Like they think you get it. brands are an extension of us. That's what it is. So there's like a twofold aspect. Great product, and then your friends come over, your family, and they're like, oh, I saw that on TikTok, I saw that on social, I saw that here. You know, they're legit. They must know, they must understand life. And other things because they're so smart now. So you have the one aspect of culture. And then secondly, what we're seeing in the skincare, you know, space is that there's a lot of brands kind of copycatting and leveraging a lot of the messaging that we've been using since the beginning, right? So if you look at a CeraVe product, in the logo, it says developer dermatologist. You know, some brands are now starting to use that in their marketing materials. For us, it's our DNA, right? Ceramides is literally in our name, right? For others, it's the marketing material. So we're like, okay, how do we really take this a step further and own our codes, own our messaging in the biggest, you know, on the biggest stage, all right? And really impact culture where people understand we're the brand that's developed a dermatologist, not Michael Cera, and Cera stands for ceramides, an ingredient you may or may never heard of, but now you know it doesn't stand for Michael Cera. So, you know, really like a perfect storm and a perfect time and then a perfect idea.
Yeah, for sure. And you're right. It's all in the details, right? And I noticed that even in like the script of the ad, and that's a great way. Instead of just saying, you know, this is created by dermatologists, you know, you instead went, this was not created by Michael Cera. It was created by dermatologists. So even just down to the copy, it just showed the brand in such a strong way. Now, Charlie, I wanted to ask you, this was a busy Super Bowl for Ogilvy this year. In our coverage, we've highlighted this, how Ogilvy, besides the Kansas City Chiefs, Ogilvy had also won the Super Bowl with three big buzzy ads. So, you know, are there any lessons that were learned here about how brands should show up in culture? I feel like there's a lot of gems in what Adam has been saying, but can you talk about like agency side, what you guys have learned from this big success this week?
Sure. Yes. No, it's an exciting moment for Ogilvy. And I think, you know, what Adam was just sharing about CeraVe and sort of the authenticity of the spot to them, to their DNA, to their sort of core beliefs and messages, you know, that was brought forward in the way that we took it to culture. And, you know, I think when you look at the all, you know, the our three pieces of work and sort of the main airing of the Super Bowl, it's true for all three of those brands that the way that they showed up made sense for them, felt authentic to them. And, you know, I think at Ogilvy, we're a bit unique in just our scale and the breadth of our expertise as a global network, as a network that has deep expertise in yes, advertising, and everyone knows us for sort of our creative prowess, but our deep team of experts in social, in influence, in PR, in innovation and business strategy through our consulting business. You know, I think it's really the breadth of our capabilities that we were able to sort of unlock and bring forward for these different brands in a way that made sense for them.
Yeah. And I feel like that touches perfectly on what, especially what you work on, Charlie, with your title and just kind of your expertise there at Ogilvy. Now, let's have a little post-match analysis. I know, let's talk engagement numbers. How did you, because Adam, I think it's so interesting and I feel like this is going to stick with me for a bit, how earned media was kind of the main objective here, and that feeds paid media. So you're kind of, like you said before, you're rewriting the rule book a little bit and not going about it backwards, but going about it in a non-traditional way. So what KPIs did you set for the first Super Bowl ad? Did it match up the expectations? You know, any surprises? Adam, give us the scoop.
Yeah, so we looked at KPIs across multiple touch points. Right. Earn being like an incredibly important one, especially one that we can really instantly look at. And, you know, the ask was definitely serious. Right. Like a billion this, a billion that. So despite like it being earned.
I can attest to that. Adam was not short on ambition. So I mean,
yeah, despite it being earned, it may have sounded like paid. Right. Because it was like, I want a billion of this and a billion of that. And it earned billion in, you know, like impressions across social PR, you know, it's not just every day someone can nail that down. But I believe, Charlie, I think we're at, if I understood right, I don't know.
Latest I'm understanding is 18 billion earned.
So.
Oh yeah. My. Wow.
And yeah. And I do think it's updating like.
Oh, sorry. No, that's 18 billion earned media impressions, 10 billion social media earned impressions.
That's what I thought. I just didn't want to speak.
Is that what you have, Adam? Yeah.
Well, I was like, oh, wait, I thought someone just wrote 20 million. But like,
I can't shortchange us.
Okay, so we're at 28 billion impressions across social earned PR. I think for some of the night was how do we show up in a number one spot, but on social, right? In the top ranking. And even if you look at the campaign as a whole compared to other advertisers, like campaign versus campaign to date, I mean, from an engagement standpoint, like Cerave's coming in at number one. I asked to go trending across platforms, Twitter, TikTok, and it happened. Obviously there's, conversion, wanted to be number one, on Adweek, on Ad Age. Like the Super Clio actually wasn't asked for, but if I would have known, I would have asked for it.
Yeah. You would have. I know you would have.
Yeah.
Top five, most mentioned, kind of top five in reach, like these were, like things that we hope for and ask for. Ogilvy said they could, and they did. So
yeah, I think on the
amazing.
I think on the earned piece, different consumers may have seen an asset here or there and sort of come into the campaign and out of the campaign in different ways. And I think that we spent a lot of time talking about that, right? And that was okay. You can just see one asset and then the Super Bowl spot, or you could be completely obsessed seeking out the Easter eggs that we planted across the internet and have seen, the hundreds of pieces of content that we put into the world. But, I think, just in terms of an earned first approach and getting to those outcomes, it was meticulously sort of planned from the get-go. So in terms of the rumors that were planted and the partnership with that pharmacy and the social, the influence, the PR, it was proactively planned, not sort of reactively done. And that being said, we of course pivoted in real time as it was unfolding and as we were listening and understanding how the internet was responding. And those sort of daily huddles, daily brainstorms, I think were so key, right, to unfolding this on the internet, which is a pretty sort of daunting task.
And then too, even adding, right, there was all touch points, right? So our website, when we went into phase two on the debunking, right, we put up a pop-up and we get a lot of traffic to Cerave.com and other Cerave sites around the world. And there's now an official pop-up saying, like, we heard these rumors, we respect and love Michael as an actor, but like, you didn't develop Cerave, it's been developed with Derm, stands for ceramides. I want to put it out there. And by the way, if you want a free sample, sign up. So you could see really closing the loop. And then from emails to SMS, the goal was really to make this immersive campaign, immersive storytelling, really like across all touch points. And what I love is when I see an email of ours go on, hit Reddit, right? When someone's screenshotting our website pop-up and it lands on Twitter at X, when it lands on X, that's magical when it goes from platform to platform and it's seamless because people want to buzz about it. And I think this was also the beauty of this immersive storytelling, this campaign, is it actually made that happen.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'll tell you that we that's how we discovered the campaign. And then, you know, and then we verified later on, like, is this something related to the Super Bowl? But it's so interesting because as you guys are talking about it, I'm remembering my coworkers just saying like, yeah, something's up with CeraVe. Like this came up on TikTok and, you know, the buzz started. So am I allowed to ask how you had to pivot as it was going down in real time? Like, was there something totally different planned or just how did you adjust to it in real time? I'm sure listeners would love to know.
If you, you know, we had four hero sort of influencer assets, sort of Haley was the first, Bobby was the second, Caleb was the third, and then Dr. Shaw was the fourth. And I think sort of listening and understanding the cadence and sort of the drama and the tension and how people were speculating was, you know, helping to guide us in terms of when we drop those assets, when is it starting the conversation starting to dull a little bit and we need to bring in a new piece, right? The internet's ready for it. I'm not sure I started talking about it. Like we were, yeah. you know what, how sneaker brands drop sneakers. I was like, we're dropping a piece of content today. And that's what it sort of felt like, you know, we wanted people, you know, itching at the seams to see another layer of this story, to learn a little bit more about what may or may not be the truth.
Yeah. And then I think that there was a few aspects too. It was even down to some of the wording that was used, right? So how are people talking? And then what are we putting, are we saying similar things? So the verbiage, you know, often the team came and said, like, this is going great. We need more memes, right? You know, so can we do more? And it was like, okay, do you think you have time to do more? Like, we think we can get this other, you know, meme account tomorrow. We just need like the resources. It's like, okay, well, like, let's do it. So I think it was also just building and building. Like, it was just never enough. And then, of course, like paid media did come in as we went into our phase two. And then it was significant paid media optimization. Right. And ultimately, with the goal of, especially in phase two, to edutain, where we're entertaining and educating on what we really need to say. And that's where we brought the derms in to talk about things like ceramides, to also educate people on skin. Right. So like we have this whole fun campaign that has like true, deeper underlying meanings. So it was also how do we get that message out in cool ways, and the teams together had all these different types of influencers. And at times they were like, okay, we should have this one go up, like to Charlie's point, publish faster, or we need to do a few more newsbreakers, or we need a few more dermatologists. And I think that these were some of also our optimizations in real time.
Gotcha. And I want to kind of recap the lessons learned, because I just feel like there's so many things here that are so telling about your client agency relationship, how you approached going viral. Like it was so strategic. But first, one quick question about creators, because I think that's going to be huge this year and you guys just use them really well. So, Adam, this goes back to what you were saying, I think even before we started recording, how, you know, you can plan ABC and then they'll do XYZ. So in terms of working with your creators, like, did you give them the brand guidelines or the copy? How did you advise them to stick to the script in a way that was still natural to their voice, but also highlighting CeraVe's, you know, product?
Yeah. I mean, I think we could both speak to this being so bothly deeply ingrained in the brief, but I think generally speaking, our goal with creators to get the best story is to also let them tell the story, right? So, you know, there's obviously brand guidelines there, which are, you know, like loose by nature. I think for this type of campaign, we had to share in some respect what our narrative is. And then it's like, okay, well, but have fun and go. So depending on the program, the briefs change with creators. We do have like this always on program that we're putting in play, which like should eventually share because it's really cool. But the briefs to them is like, you know, no cursing, you know, like no violence, stuff like that. But like you tell a great story, make the CeraVe product secondary in your story and just have fun, get people watching, make it cool. So like, you know, a small portion of our testing does go to something like that as a brief. And then there are times where it's a teensy bit more prescriptive, but never prescriptive enough where we stifle creativity.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll say, I mean, and these influencers were chosen based on their shtick and what they do and what their audience sort of loves about them, right? So, you know, Bobby has these sort of awkward, candid, direct interviews, and that was perfect because then she could grill Michael Cera on his sort of involvement. So, you know, we built around them and their talent and their, you know, what their audience sort of loves about them. And, you know, those are just our hero influencers, but we had hundreds of influencers. I mean, this was, you know, multi-pronged, right? Influencers were playing a role every step of the way, sort of surrounding those hero assets. Perhaps you saw, but we sent out these sort of haphazard boxes from Michael Cera to 400 plus influencers, and even in global markets where they just sort of opened it and were like, what is this? And we had a hilarious message from Michael Cera, and we had the narwhal in there as an Easter egg for the spot that was coming. So it was, you know, it was a very sort of multi-layered influencer strategy and approach.
Yeah. And even Michael, right, when he was responding to like Bobby or Dr. Shaw, for him, like, it's not, he wasn't scripted. So like, you know, like it was improv at its best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about improv. No, it was so great. Before I ask you guys what's next, because that's also such a crucial part of the campaign. I mean, Super Bowl is over, but it's almost like the work has just begun because you have to continue the momentum. But before we go into that, I would love to kind of quickly recap like the lessons and just really what attributed to your success so that our listeners can kind of inform their own work. So what I'm hearing is there was a strong client agency partnership there. The goal was to go viral, but there was such a strategy behind it. You put your product after the creator storylines. I think that's different. But yeah, I would love to hear in your own words what the golden lessons here were.
Sure. Yeah, I think collaboration is so key in doing work like this, right? I mean, this wasn't one idea. This was 100 ideas, right? Like, how should we brief the influencers? How should we pull in the New York Times, you know, the pharmacy? This was 100 ideas. And whether you're a social expert, influencer expert, PR expert, you know, Adam and his team, we were all throwing ideas out there and sort of ideating together in a really sort of agile way. And I think as sort of, you know, as you can imagine, a lot of our clients are asking, hey, how do I get a CeraVe idea, right? I think that just integration, you know, between the agency and the client, and then also with, you know, within the team and bringing all those experts to the table, was really sort of a key learning for us to sort of deliver on hyper, you know, modern marketing and sort of creating a new way to do things.
Yeah. And, you know, I think I'd add too, and for me, you know, a lot of this started with that RFP, right? Like that brief. And I think that if I had to guess, a typical Super Bowl brief is, we have an ad. We need to make an ad, right?
Yeah.
Of course, like that was included in the brief, but it was like, I need a 360 world across every single touch point, and then come up with some more of your own if you got any ideas, right? So I think it does start in the ask, with the hope that the agency can answer with gusto, which obviously Ogilvy did. And then I guess it's also just being your best self and who you are. And for us, like, that edutaining is something we do every day. So we wanted to kind of lean into, how do we entertain at the same time educate? And then when the ask is like, how do we go deeper and, you know, do something that hasn't been done? And then we land in a place like immersive storytelling in different phases. I think it's just being brave and being ready to take on some like new frontier in an atmosphere like the Super Bowl, which doesn't necessarily call for this type of earned first thinking.
And did you say edutain, entertain, and educate? Is that the term that was used? I love that. Yeah. That's key. No, that's so great. And I think it's very important. It's very interesting that you said the RFP and the brief, because it's such a detail that I feel like might be often glazed over, but it's really how you kind of set the tone.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say that, you know, sometimes we say here that, you know, if something doesn't necessarily work, I've heard people say, it must have been a bad brief. And so I've heard people say it, and I take it very seriously, because it is true. And then I think even the collaboration through the process of, you know, of the RFP and early on is so critical, like really, really critical. And having been on the agency side, I understand what I wish we did. So I guess in thinking like that, you know, I try to have the teams come together in a certain way. And of course, like Charlie's yeah. game and creative team and everyone else's game. So it works out great.
Yeah. I think there's a real sort of bravery that's required from the brand side to do earned first creativity like this, because, you know, ultimately, you know, if you create an asset and ship it, that's a controlled environment, right? A TV spot is a controlled environment. Obviously, you know, you're on the main stage and sort of opening up to a lot of feedback. But I think in this, as we sort of rolled out this campaign, it was, you know, you lose control a little bit, right? And you share and you co-create with media to tell the story and influencers to tell the story. You want everyday people to participate and become a part of the experience. And that sort of that willingness and eagerness to share the story and to give up that control, I think, is a real testament to CeraVe, Adam, and the team, because that's what made this.
If I can just share two more things, because I just think it's so great. So we had a command center, like a 4-day command center, right before the Super Bowl, during the Super Bowl, and then after the Super Bowl. And, you know, there was, everyone was in the room, right? Actually, there was many rooms, because you had like the listening room, and then you had our creation room, because we had Dr. Shaw, you know, some people from CeraVe. And, you know, our goal was, how do we create in real time? How do we work together in real time? And real time is really difficult, because like you're trying to take like a month's worth of work and do it in like a day, right? Everyone needs to come together. You're optimizing paid at a super fast speed, like faster than you typically would, right? Because everything's accelerated. And it's a moment where the teams really have to have a good relationship where everything will fall apart. And it was, I mean, there was like 40 people or so in total when we were at our full capacity in this command center. You know, again, like you have strategists, you have creatives, you have paid media, agencies, all different layers, PR, and everyone is just working together in such a symbiotic way. But it takes the months before that of coming together and really enjoying each other's company in a creative way to be able to pull off a real-time moment where like it sticks and good things come out of it and there's great vibes. You know, it's not so easy, but I think the relationship is key, and the command center was fun.
Yeah, that was really fun.
At the command center, you know, I mean, it was so much fun.
And the
man, to be a fly on the wall there, was Michael Cera in the command center?
No.
Ever?
He was. In spirit, right?
In spirit, he was.
And on the TV screens.
Yeah. And he was on.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was such a great conversation. Thank you so much for taking us behind the scenes of this big moment that you had. We can't wait to see what you do next. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, part of the Adweek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network. This podcast was produced by me, Al Manarino, executive produced by Chris Ahrens and John Heil, and edited by Lane McGivney at Boutwell Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all of Adweek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things Adweek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter @AdweekPodcast. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show, send us an email at podcast@adweek.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hatch, because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth. your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.